Okay.
Oh, good. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the City Council Workshop for the City of Bonnie Lake for August 15th, 2023. First thing we do is salute our flag, so please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, could you call the roll, please?
Mayor McCullough.
I'm here.
Deputy Mayor Carter.
Here.
Councilmember Baldwin, here. Councilmember Evans. Councilmember Fullerton, here. Councilmember McClyman.
Here.
Councilmember Swatman.
Present.
And Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Do I hear a motion for Councilmember Evans?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of excusing Councilmember Evans from the workshop tonight, say aye.
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 Oh, thank you. All opposed? All right, let the record reflect Councilmember Evans has been excused unanimously. So we do have a presentation from the Pierce County Library System. You're up. And we will shh.
Hello. My name is Gretchen Casarotti. I'm the new executive director at the Pierce County Library System. I've had the opportunity to meet with some of you individually at the Bonnie Lake branch. And Aaron, as I know you all know Aaron, and I are here today as a part of a new process for the library. I'm beginning a process to go through our annual report once a year and meet with municipalities. We'll probably have to do an every other year cadence because there's a number of municipalities in Pierce County that we oversee through our libraries. And so today we wanted to be able to share with you a little bit about where we're at. One of our focus areas organizationally is on pandemic recovery and capacity building. This is a transition time where we have a lot of new leadership at the library. A very tumultuous process through the pandemic in so many ways impacted the library. And for myself coming in as the new leader of the organization, kind of level setting and resetting as we move into building a future with new strategic planning and lots of aspirations for what the library can be in the future. So thank you for having us today and allowing us a few moments of your workshop to share some information. I believe it was a right click to advance, or is it a scroll down?
You scroll down, but it's still working on the
There it is. Okay, great. And we will leave time for questions, so we'll try to keep this moving expeditiously this evening. So for anyone who is watching online, or for any of you here who may not know, the Pierce County Library System, it serves all the unincorporated areas or annexed municipalities in Pierce County. So we like to summarize it to say everything but Tacoma in Pierce County. Our service area is 2,000 square miles from Mount Rainier out to the Key Peninsula, and we serve 655,000 people through our 19 physical branches across Pierce County. We are, in fact, the fourth largest library system in the state of Washington. Through the pandemic, we have reallocated resources. And now, through our electronic books, our digital collections, we have more than 1 million items in our overall collection, and we have an incredible circulation through our ebooks with lots of new folks who discovered the library virtually in the last couple of years. Here in Bonnie Lake, we served 65,653 visitors in 2022, physical visits to our location, to the building. And that's the sixth most visited in our system last year. We continue to rebound as we bring back in-person programming and we bring back services that people were accustomed to before things shut down in 2020. We're continuing to see that upward trend of people returning to using the library physically as well as in our collections, digital and physical. With the library's purpose in providing materials, our mission statement is to bring the world of information and imagination to all people of our community. And we want to be the community's choice for the discovery and exchange of information and ideas. We have lofty ambitions to be the place where people can pursue learning, enjoying and connecting with their community, to live a full, healthy, and fulfilling life, to be good citizens, engaged citizens of their communities, and to be healthy and productive.
Excuse me. Shady, the participants, the Zoom participants are not seeing the fine presentation that I know is in the packet. I'm done, thank you.
Is the audio okay? I'm not very close to the microphone. Yeah,
the audio is fabulous. Okay. You're doing a great job.
I'm very loud for a librarian. King County. King County in Seattle, and then I remember his
name. Anything else?
See, we needed to see Erin. There she is in action, a librarian in the wild.
Even have books and stickers. I have my glasses, but no cardigan today, just a blazer. And no cats. I don't know that. I don't have cats. Is it okay to proceed?
Councilmember Kleinman, is it all right to go ahead?
Please, okay. Absolutely, that would be fabulous.
Thank you. The pages are in the packet, so if anyone missed the first few slides, they're informational and they are in there. So we were moving to, in our annual report and our finances, we are committed to being good stewards of public funds. While people think of libraries as nonprofits, we are indeed a government institution. We are a junior taxing district in the state of Washington. We have a board of trustees who oversees our finances, our policies, my performance, and so we want to be good stewards of those taxpayer resources. We are a service agency, and probably not surprisingly then, in turn, about 70% of our expenses are in personnel. Our people are what make the library run. They are not just walls, buildings with stacks and stacks of books. It is our librarians, our staff in the branches that really make all the magic happen. 70% of our expenses, as I mentioned, are in our personnel costs. About 10% of our budget annually is our collections. That includes physical and digital. Technology, facilities, and general operations make up the remaining 20%. We also do have a foundation. Our Friends of the Library support our local branches. Erin will speak about the Bonnie Lake Friends group coming up. And we also have a foundation that privately raises a lot of money for the library each year for both operating and capital. And so we're grateful to the foundation for their efforts for operating costs as well as supporting our capital endeavors. I apologize, that's probably hard to read, but it is also included in the physical copies, and we'll make sure that those of you on council who are virtual have a print copy of that as well. We do keep our budget and financial information available on the website, and of course, as any government agency, we receive annual audits and appropriate oversight for our funding. Now, on to the fun and local information about the spectacular Bonnie Lake Library. It was built in 1982. We appreciate such a great partnership with the city of Bonnie Lake in our physical presence in this community, in our sharing of this civic use in this space. This library branch has 34,000 physical materials in the collection. As I mentioned, we have more than a million items in our collection. The system had nearly 5 million what we call checkouts or CIRCs in our business of items borrowed from the library last year. And in Bonnie Lake, that looked like just short of 200,000 from this physical location. We have over 15,000 cardholders here in Bonnie Lake out of 200 and roughly 85,000 cardholders across the district. We have, as I mentioned, we're recovering with programs. So the system had 1,600 programs last year, and 58 of those were here. We will see those numbers increase next year. That was, I think, fall. We didn't bring programs back until
fall. That was
fall.
In part due to our renovation work.
Yes, that is right. So we know that those program numbers will increase both in number as well as attendance here. To touch on a little bit of the system as well, we have three strategic priority areas: learning, enjoyment, and community. That allows our organization to really focus strategically on delivering services around how people learn, what they're interested in learning. That could be learning to read for young people. That could be new job skills, upskilling to get a better job themselves, a new language, STEM or STEAM skills. We do after-school programming, learning how to use technology. I know the staff in all of our branches provide a lot of job support for people who are looking to apply for jobs, looking to improve their skills and move up in their careers. Second service area is enjoyment. We do believe that there's value in recreation and that learning through play is a really important skill for people of all ages. And in this area, we try to inspire imagination through extensive collections, diverse collections, to foster a love of reading and to create opportunities to discover new interests and pursue passions. I mentioned that we invested heavily in digital collections when everything had to go remote in 2020. And we surpassed 2 million checkouts just in our digital book collections, or streaming audio, downloadable books. It's an app called Libby, if you're interested. We can show you after the meeting how to download books. It's great for your car to just pop on an audio book. And the third area, but with that, under enjoyment, is selecting books and material. And that's certainly a subject of conversation in national media around books and libraries collections. So I felt like it was appropriate to just share how the library selects materials for our collection. We serve a lot of people in this community across the county, and we are, as a part of our organizational structure, we really nest under the First Amendment, and we do want to serve all people through all their different interests. The idea of intellectual freedom is a very important and foundational principle for a public library, which is unique in the United States. That's a presentation for a different day. And that we really do want to help families find materials that are appropriate for their families. So our librarians follow a policy that is set by the Board of Trustees, available on our website, that outlines the criteria of what we look for when we're selecting materials, everything from artistic merit, popular interest, stylistic quality. Sometimes we look to fill holes in a collection. Maybe one branch doesn't have a lot of cookbooks, and so we know that we need to beef up the cookbooks or the DIY car auto mechanic collection. And so librarians will really look at each branch as well as the system as a whole to look for, do we have everything in a series? Do we have it in print? Do we have it in digital? And they'll look at a lot of different qualities. Those are all outlined in our policy. And we do have a clear process for how we manage those collections, whether things are coming in or how we manage things going out, as well as where they sit on our shelves. Recently, we did have our staff, I forget where it came from, but we know in the branches, there are also some pamphlets and brochures that can help parents to support their use of the library to help them find materials that are of interest to them. And our staff are always willing. That's their expertise, is to help people find the right book for the right reader at the right time. Our third area is community. And that has been the hardest one for our library system, like so many organizations for the last couple of years, to really figure out how to do that in such an ever-changing and challenging environment, how to build community, how to be a part of the community. And so as we are coming out on this other end, with new leadership especially, I'm so pleased that, you know, an example of how we're attempting to embrace a new model of service is people like Aaron coming to your meetings, being a part of the community. It's a practice called embedded librarianship, where we want to be a part of the community. It's the best way for us to build relationships. It's the best way for us to hear directly from people what they're experiencing, what their needs are, what their interests and curiosities are, and building those relationships. So I think we're recovering and we're on our way in the right direction, but it certainly has been really difficult. We love to be a part of community events. We're so glad to see those things are coming back into our communities and that our staff are ready and eager to be a part of those activities. And here I get to turn the microphone over to Aaron, who will talk a little bit more about the branch.
All right, so I get to talk about the branch. The first topic, you heard me come to you this fall and winter and talk a little bit about the renovation. I feel like I've talked a lot about the renovation, but it's very exciting for us. This past fall and winter, we went through a renovation, or we called it a refresh, that allowed us to do a couple of things. The first thing is we were able to improve and upgrade some of our technology. And the second more visible thing is a lot of improvements to our interior space. So those photos are some photos of our newly refreshed library. Okay. Along with that, at the end of that time, we put in a new rotating community art display. I'm really proud of this. We have so much talent in this community when it comes to art and artistic things. I draw stick figures, but everybody else is doing much better than I am. So this is a partnership that we've done over the past year with two of our local school districts, the first being the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District, and the second big one is the Deeringer School District. We're also going to have, right now we have student artwork from North Taps Middle School in the branch. Our next one is going to be our first departure away from a school. We're actually going to be showcasing artwork from the summer camps that Prairie Ridge Community Coalition is hosting for free for any child in the community. Right now, I think they go just about up until the time that school starts. One of my to-do tasks for this fall is going to be figuring out the next rotation, and I'm looking to grow and expand. So I'm going to put out an ask to all of you, if you know of any local groups or organizations that would like to be a part of that, that would like to showcase their art in the library, please let me know. I would love to hear about that. We have a couple entities that stand alongside of us and support the work that we do. Gretchen already showcased one of them, the Pierce County Library Foundation. This is a photo of our annual trivia meeting that we do in the fall. You can see everyone is having an authority ticket. The other entity that supports us is our local Friends of the Library Organization. And the Friends of the Bonnie Lake Library, if you have not met them, they are wonderful. They are so enthusiastic and positive. They recently held on July 20th through 22nd their first book sale in 3 years. We were so excited to come back from the pandemic and be able to do that. And over the course of those 3 days, they raised $1,017.50 that supports the library programs that we offer and the work that we do for our community. You also heard me talk about this, our refresh open house event that we had this past April. I believe Mayor McCullough noted that we held it on tax day. We had about 200 people come that day to attend our event. We had a magic show. People got the chance to vote for names for two of our favorite new pieces of furniture. You see them pictured up there. That look like elephants in the children's area. The slide is a little hard to read, but just in case you're wondering, the yellow one is next. They also got the chance to participate in a library scavenger hunt, check out our refresh space, and learn more about library research. We had a couple people from the swim doing that day. I want to thank the number 38.
Well, the magic show, too, that was good.
And I also want to thank the mayor and all of the city council members and the city employees who have come into the library since the refresh. It has not been my experience always in libraries to have this close relationship between the city and the library. I love it. We love the engagement. All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about some of the services that we offer in the library and where we're at with them. And I'm going to start with because usually the first thing to look at when you think about libraries is our books. So we are continuing to invest in all of the good things that people love, print books, movies, e-books, audiobooks, and then if you hear of materials that are specifically for kids, you can there are two big spaces projects that you may have heard about going on at the library. One of them is planning for our interim library location moving board. The second one is the Reset Showcase our August 1st primary election. Voters vote yes to a new
all during this time. So vote for just 35 today. So we have a community I'm a part of that process. So I'm sure our coworkers join us somewhere to celebrate that. There are some other projects going on throughout the system that you may not have heard of. So other projects you may not have heard of include replacing signage at the Fike Pierce County Library, replacing boards at several of our locations, including Blue Harbor, Hunter, Valhalla, and Stilton. Right now, the Grand Pierce County Library is building a new and then again, close to home, we'll be working on mitigating the and updating the technology is another favorite one of our customers. So a couple projects that we are working on in this area, installing modern technology in all of our public meeting rooms. If you haven't been in our meeting room, we have a beautiful big unit that has wireless capability and screen capture capability. The people who come in to be meeting and another project that we have seen is replacing public laptops for all of our customers to improve their experience. That's one of those slightly less visible things that got done along with our refresh, but really good. So I mentioned our friends of the library group. They are receiving book donations right now. We have books that you can send around to their collection. They are doing book sales. We had our book sale in July. The next one they're already planning for will be in November. And they have a couple of standing book sales called another partnership we're really excited about. We have a representative. A partnership with the market and the street to bring food offerings to the market. And this is really wonderful because part of what the library does is we support all people, but especially people who have facing food insecurity, or who are living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe not living with a paycheck at all. So that's really going to help us all those in partnership to uplift those folks together. All right, classes and events. We've been outside and inside having a lot of fun this summer. I am so glad that we were able to bring back this past calendar year in person. And we're also doing virtual, but there is just something about it brings a lot of joy to our hearts. We're also in the process of reviewing and looking at we come back from the pandemic about what do our communities do. The last area is business processes. We have a great new website and our goal with enhancing the website was to make it easier to use and navigate, and also as a secondary goal, make sure that we're staying compliant with all of the as well. And one final big project has been eliminating signs and removing barriers to our external doors. Signs provide a barrier to regular access to certain places. And we are all about eliminating signs and welcoming folks back to having access to the library. So that's been a big project this year. And there are some big questions you have about what happens to the materials. There's a lot of data out there. It's important the fact that libraries books and materials will be placed in the library sales library. I'm actually now a veteran. This is the third library system I've been a part of that has gone fine through the knowledge of COVID. And I can say our books come back. So that's another big project that we've been working on and some progress on as we move forward. It is a fun one. this is some things that one people are saying about the Bonnie Lake Library. So one of the things that I do and have done over the course of my 17 years in libraries is collect impact stories. And that is stories of the library making a difference, stories of kindness, of concern, of community building. So these are some of the things that I have connected here at the operation. I think they're just going to be over here now. And when we are here, I have collected more stories than I've had in most of the series. Amazing history of COVID. I'm going to end with a quick little story. One of the impact, one of the many, many impact stories I've collected is about one of our younger customers who is a regular visitor to the library. He just offered yesterday, actually. So I was like, well, this is very timely. She comes to the library and she loves to check out lots and lots of DVDs. She is a child who has some many different. And the mom shared with us that she goes to credit questions of very difficult research. She looks at the catalog online, she picks out the DVDs she's interested in, and she takes a long time to carefully handle and look at all the covers that she knows about. And then she comes into the branch to make the people on the desk. We all know her, she knows us. We take that handwritten list and we help her find all the covers that she. One thing we didn't know until recently is that when she's done watching all of the DVDs, her mom said she actually will go to the computer. She writes stories about all the characters in the DVDs that she watched. And I thought that was amazing. Her mom said she wouldn't be able to have all of those characters if you weren't present here in the facility. And she just seen that as a person. The term is life enhancers, and that's awesome. I feel like it is really representative of what the library and what library customers and employees do every day. Because every day, as Gretchen mentioned, we have thousands of people who are or they're encountering us online or out in the community. And each of those people is doing something specific to those people. They might be trying to They might be looking for a job, and maybe a visitor, they might be kind of struggling with that journey. They might be just trying to find a sense of community and a place to belong. So our goal as library staff members is to do and welcome and help all of those people feel like they belong and feel like they can connect to the things that they're looking for. That is a great, great responsibility. Why I've been in this job for 17 years. I just really appreciate the opportunity to do that. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to Gretchen.
We're wrapping it up. Thank you all. The last thing I would just leave you with is that I mentioned, you know, I am 1 year new to this position, new to Pierce County, new to the state of Washington. And we will be spending the next year doing strategic planning and long-range facility planning. The library has a master plan for 2030. Nothing is the same from when that plan was written in 2010. So we will be dusting things off and resetting that process in 2023 with our board of trustees to really look at what the landscape will be for our facilities and our services in the coming years. With that, thank you. I think we went a little long, but I do appreciate the time to get to chat with you all, and we're happy to answer any questions as much as time allows for this evening. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll start polling.
Second floors can be, as you would know from the building size, elevators, additional staffing costs to a public library that's in the supervision for decades. But we're starting from scratch, so I think every location we have has some form of a constraint, whether that's site and, you know, it only has so much.
local zoning codes allow for, provide for, costs for the capital as well. But constraints also force innovation, and so I would just answer broadly. Everything's on the table from my perspective. You can only do what you have the money to do when you're in public buildings and public work. So part of this process will also be the turnover all of us done to find where we have resources that may not require public votes, or whether we need a strategy for sub-districting is a tool that also will be public libraries, but kind of what we were talking about from there is whether we have limited capital tools to do those projects, but we have a toolbox, and we're just going to have to figure out which tools will work for this project.
Councilmember Watson, did you have a question too?
Well, I'm going to make a statement. I just want to let you have one follow up, Gwendolyn.
Oh, I was just saying, we have asked the council member, I don't know if
I just want to say your staff is amazing. Aaron goes out all over the place and helps tell what's going on in the library, inform the community and stuff. And now to reach out with the food bank, they have a food lockers over there. So many people use your facilities and use the food bank's facilities too. And now they have one-stop place to go to, which is wonderful. And back to Wendland's question, I think if you came up with a plan to make a bigger library, I'm sure the city came up with some more property for you to move it someplace else if we needed to and make it work best for you. Go up, go out, you know, whatever works for you. We need a bigger library desperately and stuff. And as our grow, as Tahali's growing and we're growing, the need is out there. And I appreciate all you have done. I look forward to more growth in the future.
I have been trying to reach out to city managers to understand all the different municipalities with their own development plans, to understand if there's civic centers or where there might be some opportunities co-locate facilities. It's always advantageous to save money and save. If you can share a break room with another public agency, then you don't have to go too busy. So that is helpful for me to just understand what all the different communities' development plans are. So I am in touch with Don.
Good.
Okay, well, my strategy didn't work, which was on the ballot to scratch out the city of Sumner, and I wrote in Bonnie Lake, and nobody followed me on that one. So. But I do have two questions. Oh, I'm sorry, Councilmember Baldwin.
In regards to that library, I just wondered if there's any
Are your strategies public? I mean, can we have privy to your strategies? Okay. Okay, good. So we can come and advocate at the times that we could.
We have heard, so if I may.
Oh, yeah.
Most of our facilities were built in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. District-wide bond passed in 1986. The majority of our buildings were built between 87 and 92. All of them being 30 years old. So all of them are experiencing end of life HVAC systems, a challenge for small, medium, and large branches. So we also have growth shifts in the county, as you are all aware. Areas like Frederickson, Parkway, Scanaway, where there's new investments in housing, is going to change the density in the don't have libraries. So it will be a great challenge in my career that I'm eager to take on to understand how we can adequately provide services when the constraints are real with these different needs. I've also heard and connected with colleagues from the Rotary and interests in putting branches into Halle and some of these other areas. So we're going to welcome all the input that we can. We're going to look at all the plans that exist to give us good information as we move through that process. And our board meetings are open, and people can comment to our board anytime. The information is on the website, the form, as well as in our meetings.
Okay. Councilmember Swan.
I'm not aware that we are in any situation with respect to the levy rate has been dropping. The market has been increasing across the county.
Our tax levy is low enough that they would probably always have capacity. No, it doesn't affect that.
Future stuff.
I'm always worried with Indies and junior
taxes. Yeah, the greatest challenge for us as a tax district is having a 1% cap, certainly this last year with tax of labor and inflation, and how to manage countries and revenue over time.
Oh, absolutely. And the population density, I believe, is probably just as relevant up here as it is in Fredericton and whatnot for what we can provide. I do have two specific questions, though, one of them being, since the building was built in 1982, are we ADA compliant now, or are we just kind of skating along with that?
The refresh addressed the major issues.
Okay.
Anything that we would do that's more significant would trigger a whole different set of improvements. But the physical building, in terms of space between shelving, desk heights for computers, the service desks, all of those meet the guidelines for ADA, physical use.
Oh, good. And
the
we'll...
The door replacements that Aaron mentioned are also to get accessible paddles and things that we can have the doors for. Working through all of those.
Well, that makes sense. And you mentioned having a good participation at fairs and whatnot. Are you all planning on having a presence at Bonnie Lake Days here in a couple weeks? Maybe some of the 17 friends of the library can come and we can meet them.
Talk to the friends. We are facing some staffing challenges right now. So unfortunately, Bonnie Lake is not on the schedule. We have been out at Cambridge Pass this summer, and the other city event we've got coming up will be Beautify Bonnie Lake.
Good job there, too. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay.
We were also out at National Night Out on August 1st. We got invited to three, which shows you how much is going on in the community. We were out at Heritage Community Center that day for the National Night Out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and I say two questions. I always lie about that. What I was wondering about too is with the with digital technology that we do have nowadays, and I know how much we've grown since this facility has been built. And I was wondering about the wait times or how. We had a bunch of positive data. Do we have any data on people who have come in to try to find something and they can't because it's not there, or it's been checked out and there's a wait time for when they can get it? As you know, like, is there a big wait time between that, or has digital technology kind of can't talk tonight. My apologies, but superseded that.
Factoring in its profitability. When you do try to order, understanding what demand might be for specific items, you know it's frustrating to wait. We all would like to have it, but some things that we would like right away. And we also have a couple of different strategies that people can use if they have a book that they want that is not immediately on the shelf. As Dr. mentioned, we have 34,000 from our But there are many, many more out there in the library system. So we're happy to bring in items from other branches that are available through our wholesale center. One of the unfortunately well-kept secrets of the library that I try to advocate for is we also participate in something called interlibrary loan, which if we don't own an item or we can't get it to you, it's from within our library system. We can look at other libraries across the state and the community and outside of the state and across the nation. It is our goal as librarians, if you want you to have the best, you want to have the things that you want. So this is something to strategy, as well as just keeping an eye on that demand and trying to make sure that if we're getting people change from the community, we have a way that people can do, if they have a specific book or an item that they want and they use it, they can do that as well.
Do y'all keep data on it?
We do. Okay. I forget the actual ratio, but our librarians, the selectors, do regular recordings. So they'll look at what's called a holds ratio. For every one copy, we have 5 holds. As soon as it moves to 6 holds, they'll buy another copy if it's available.
Okay.
The biggest challenge you mentioned there was the digital content. So with respect to licensing, there's a lot that's not in our control. We can't get DVDs for this young person of a streaming only on Netflix series, for example. It doesn't exist in a physical format, so we can't get something like that. Sometimes there's constraints around pricing and publishers, so for ebooks or downloadable audio, different publishers will set different permissions and price points. So one ebook may cost $20 to buy a print copy of, and we bought 20, but the digital book costs $85, so we may only be able to buy 5. But they are monitoring both of those to look at what the popularity is. And then we have a tool that's called a Lucky Day Collection in all of our branches. And our selectors will look for, okay, this is a bestseller. So that's how we can make sure we always have a bestseller on the shelf, and it's just a chance. It's in today, and you happen to get that new Harlan Coben book that you've been waiting to read this summer. And that's a way that we pull those out of and keep them more in the upfront circulation.
Okay.
I hope that addresses your
question. Well, a little bit. Yeah.
You were saying that one ebook.
Because our librarians may be having a heart attack back in the office. There is a number, and I'm sorry, I don't know what it is. But yes, they treat it the same. They'll look at what's available. Some publishers will sell and license, and it's just you borrow it 27 times, and then it disappears. Sometimes it's really have different permissions, but the librarians really have to stay on top of it.
Yeah. Why is that?
They treat it the same, yes.
All right. Oh. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually don't have a question. I just wanted to say thank you for coming in here. I really appreciate it. Thank you for working with the market. We love that, coming in here with the city as well, and all those connections and partnerships that you guys are doing. You guys are doing a fantastic job. So I just wanted to say thank you for doing that.
Look forward to working with you all next year, too, as we build our future plans.
All right. Thank you very much. Oh, Ms. Cernich, would you like to approach the dais, or do you just have a question? You never plan on talking.
I just wanted to compliment the lady. So inspiring, and I refer to the library and the market. It's more community. It's really good. And there's no better example of the community for the library and how they reach out to the community. We actually extend.
That's cool.
Seeing the familiar faces, right?
Yeah.
So when I go out to Prairie Ridge, Aaron's out there. When I'm at Emerald Hills, Aaron's there. It doesn't matter where I'm at, Aaron's at. And so what that means is the children in our community are another community. And when we're all together, we are all together, and I absolutely love that. I didn't know that they were going to mention our partnership. I absolutely wouldn't. And then I just want to say something else. I felt compelled when at the very end, when Aaron was talking about public comment. So a lot of people know about my work, but know very little about me. I don't like to talk about myself or personal experiences or why I do the work that I do today. A lot of people know about me and there was a time in between my Nordstrom life and the life that I have now, it could have been quite different for me. I describe a lot of what I was not planning on saying this, but actually never said it publicly. But I'm going to say it tonight because you were talking about. A lot of times in the work that I do and the reason that you collect and the things that you build, it's because there has been an extreme separation from their community, their family, and their network. That is why they're reaching out for resources, that is why they're reaching out for help. They're needing that sense of community. When I stayed at home with my child and made that decision to do that, I was experiencing during that time an extreme separation. I had never been a member. I've lived in our community for 15 years. I had really commuted most of that time. I hadn't been part of this community at all. And the type of work I did, there were not many. I do not have a mother, and I do not have mothers in my life. And the extreme separation from my community at that time was absolutely debilitating to the point that I was not able to walk with them. And I remember in that desperation saying to my husband, I don't know what to do. I am not who I thought I was. I feel alone. And he said, I live up young in the panorama, he said, you should walk up to the library with us. And I said, it's weird to think about somebody that's not being able to come out of that time. And so I put her in the stroller and I walked up from Panorama. And I walked in and I met Singh with the children during the children's library. And it was very hard for me to be there, and I participated and I met other mothers and I met Singh. And I went home and I told my husband, it's okay. I went the next week, and Singh remembered my name, and she remembered my body. She was the only person I knew that knew my name and my body. And from there, that really built, and it built an entire career of connecting with community. But I think a lot about what might have happened to me if that separation of community had perpetuated in my life. Connected. I made an entire network of friends. We planned birthday parties, all kinds of great things because of that group of friends. And I just wanted to say that what these women do every day, and what happens at the market. Yes. But the connection that's happening at the library is so important in a post-pandemic world and all.
No, thank you, Stacey. I appreciate that. Alrighty. Well, let's see. And open discussion. Oh, we're moving on to open discussion. Does anybody want to discuss openly? Okay, Councilmember Watson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I was disappointed to look on the Facebook page for our city that you've been putting about cooling centers on our page. It's been a very hot last couple days, and other cities have. And on top of that, I went down to where normally is our senior center, our cooling center.
Right.
And I went down there at 3 o'clock, and it was unbearable. We had people down there having a meeting this afternoon. And I went to one of the offices down there, and you couldn't even barely stand in there.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed we didn't put in portable coolers, pick up something for them till we get that problem resolved, because our seniors don't have air conditioning, can't go to the senior center and get cooled off.
So we have had that. Mr. Johnson and I were actually talking about that this afternoon.
Yeah, if I could just add in, there actually is, we've been renting two coolers, and there was one. I was actually down there just about the same time, so I don't know how we missed each other. Then there is one, as you come in the front door, it's in the corner. It's plumbed out the window there in the far corner, and it's got two tubes that are blowing into the room.
It was hot there, wasn't it?
It was warm. I didn't find it difficult to stand. I was concerned because I had received some comments from some of, well, at least one of the staff secondhand, that the kitchen is very hot. And I wanted to get down there. Obviously, there was a lot on the agenda today with food for thought and so on. But we have been taking measures to do the best that we can on a temporary basis to bring cooler air to the main public space.
Good.
As you know, the kitchen isn't plumbed for any kind of HVAC system, which is just the way the building has always been. And over time, there's been a freezer added to the interior of the building, a larger stove, and those things obviously generate heat, which makes it pretty tough during the summertime. There is a plan in place, which Chuck out of Administrative Services could talk to further about how we're going to make some changes there. In the meantime, we have received two heat pumps, which were delivered yesterday, that Mike Englert will begin installing on Monday in order to provide a little bit more relief than the temporary units can provide. So we are aware of it. We're doing what we can. Hopefully before too long, they'll have a little bit more relief there.
Went into Phil's offices, really was hot in there where Phil was at. So.
Yeah, I was talking, I actually was in there talking with him as well. So
we must just cross each other because,
Councilmember Watson actually brings up a very salient point. The thing that concerns me about it is that it was not posted on Facebook.
Right, they can go, and there are places for him to go, and we should have done something for him. If on the radio, you can call a number, and it'll tell you where the closest cooling centers are.
Well, yeah, and it's another problem that we're having with this disconnect as far as our messaging is concerned. We've got to start streamlining.
Isn't it for our emergency management, isn't the senior listed as a cooling station?
It was, yes.
So that seemed inappropriate if we didn't have heat in the
emergency. Well, that's why I went there to see what's going on. It's in the Facebook page, so I said, I'll go see what's going on down there after my meeting this afternoon, and I didn't believe it. And they were having the meeting going on for the staff down there.
Is that something that they could come ARPA funds towards? The unit or anything? Because that's our emergency management.
Yes, so, as Mr. Johnson just said, we've got the two heat pumps that have come in. We did have two cooling areas.
Is that going to be an air conditioning system in the building, or is it like temporary?
So I there's a couple different things going on here. The heat pumps that were just purchased and that will be installed are honestly a stopgap measure. But as part of the $650,000 in funding that we received from the state, there is work included in that money, a project included there, to convert the single-phase power that currently goes to the building to three-phase power so that then the HVAC can be upgraded on a more permanent basis and a complete system can be redesigned to serve the larger square footage of the senior center as it exists now. It used to be a smaller building, and over time it's had bits and pieces added onto it, but there wasn't consideration for how the HVAC would interact with that additional square footage. So what we're hoping to be able to do here now is take those state funds, design a new system that's going to be able to serve the entire building more appropriately.
And Councilmember Baldwin.
As I understand the scope of the projects right now, this first phase and the money that's included in that $650,000 would do the work to provide the appropriate power and provide the design. But my understanding is, from what I've learned from our facilities people, that the actual procurement and construction of the new system would have to be funded out of a separate pot of future funds. I was afraid you were going to ask that. I don't have a concrete number. I could give you a ballpark of somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000, but that is a, you know, I just don't have a number that I would feel comfortable saying it'll be X. I think what you're talking about is very similar to what's in the Public Services Center. We have a lot of those split systems where you have the unit up on the... Yeah, so we're probably in the same boat about our knowledge of heating and ventilation systems. You know, pipes and pumps, I'm your guy, but... So I'd have to do a little bit of work and conversations with our facility people, but as part of this $650,000 that I'm referring to, that's certainly a question that could be answered and would be, I would assume, would be something we'd be looking at.
It's duck. Well, why would we need ducks?
Also do heat as well as air conditioning. I think that would be great.
Absolutely. Oh, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do you know, are we continuing to go back for another grant next year in regards to that whole system, or is that something that's going to be coming back to budget?
So I would need to talk with Chuck. Obviously, the senior center is out of his department, the management of that. I believe he has a plan for going after additional funds to then continue these larger projects. I would anticipate that the way that they set that up through the application process is that this is designed now, future funds to construct. And so I would anticipate we'd be going back next year to ask for additional funds.
And Ms. Ryerson, did you have a comment? Yeah.
So what I know about the 650 is it will be coming to finance and council as soon as they get the state to sign off on the projects that they're wanting. I've talked to Leslie about this, and so they're working through that project list right now, and once they get that approved by the state, then they'll come back and bring that to you guys and have a discussion with you, you know, approving the funds. So it's nothing that's been approved yet by you, so it will come back, and it's my understanding that, yes, they plan on asking for more in the future.
Do you have any idea what the turnaround might be on that?
On this grant that they're working on?
Yeah.
So when I was talking to Leslie, because she was going to bring it to finance next week, and I said, not until you have the grant ready for you to sign the agreement. So it's my understanding that it'll probably be later this year that they bring that back to you. I asked her when the money was going to be spent because I have a budget amendment coming. She said partly in 2024 and partly in 2025. So they don't even anticipate being able to spend all of this money in 2024 yet. So getting additional money, I'm not sure at what point that would be. If it'd be 25, 26, I don't know.
Okay. And Councilmember Watson.
I've got two more things if we're done with that one.
Sure.
I went to the retirement party for Brian Jeter. Mr. Ryan Johnson was there too. It was a wonderful staff was there. Lots of staff were there. And it was great to go down there and see him and see his family and tell him goodbye and saw the tears that were down there. So it was really, really nice to see him off. All he's done for our city over the years. He has a big, large background from growing here, leaving, and the staff he brought on too. So. And the other thing is, and I already talked to Ryan Johnson about this, but I wanted to make you aware of it. I know Lake Bonney is covered by state, but and we always have weeds growing out there.
Right.
This year, a little more than normal because of the heat we've had. I had a complaint from a citizen last week that they're out there, and they got out of the boat because of the amount of growth in the water. They slipped and slipped back in the water. Fortunately, they were fine, but they're telling me, Tom, it's worse than it usually is. And the thing we can do to help make it a little bit safer for them, moving the growth wave. And I have pictures, too, for you if you'd like to see them. I come prepared. So.
How do we know what good looks like?
Well, you know, it's from the shore there. You know,
what's a year ago?
Yeah, and Councilmember Watson is correct. The lake is it's kind of a little unusual in that Lake Bonney is actually administered by the Department of Ecology. It's not city-owned property. So I'll be happy to reach out to them as well, and see what we can do about that. My guess is, well, I won't guess.
It is something by the
law. It's their property, so we'll see. But I will definitely get in touch with them.
Are we the same? Yeah, I was going to say, this looks like Deborah Jane. That's all I've got tonight.
All right, thank you, Councilmember Watson. Let's see. Oh, Councilmember Swatman.
And I don't know, I've heard from some people talking about changes in the insurance system where, you know, policies are being changed in a way that the consumer may not really see very readily. There's talk out on the street about homeowner insurance changes where they're changing their policies when they, you know, have to redo them so that the homeowner would not be able to get the same home rebuilt. They would not, you know, because it's from the insurance side, right?
Right.
And even to the extent of where supposedly they wouldn't build to the code that's current, they'd build to the code when the the product was there, so they're not, you know, up to the limit. But my question, I think, revolves around, does the city have any, you know, play in, because it appears to me that they're selling that product to our citizens.
Jeez.
Is she awake? She was. I guess I'll have to touch base with it, but I don't know if anybody's ever heard, because, you know, they're selling the product, right?
Right.
And if they're going to change their product, or, you know, you would think that the city possibly, unless it's like something that the state says that the city can't do, does the city have an issue that they can use there, say that you can't sell that type of a policy?
Well, I'm going to emulate Mr. Johnstone over there and say, yeah, I don't know right now. It's something that we need to definitely refer to our city attorney when there's,
you know,
not another city council meeting.
There is a play there or not.
Personal experience. My neighbor's house caught fire, and they're rebuilding it bigger and better than ever.
Yeah.
With sprinklers.
Well, it seems to be how the insurance business is going now, instead of... it's like replacement as opposed to repair.
Do I get one more issue?
Absolutely.
And I know soon we'll probably be hearing more on the Parks and Rec situation, right? Is that already scheduled?
Oh, I've got something to say about that here in a minute.
We had a great little side a discussion outright at committee at finance committee about it. But I look forward to getting information from the staff on that and possibilities on that. Because, you know, I'm thinking that it's a great program for the government to some level to be running, because there's a lot of pieces to that that I think that the city can play in. There may be other pieces that couldn't go to other organizations. But really, the end of my thought is that, you know, I hope that the administration and the people that are involved in that can come to the council with possibilities. They'll be able to do that, because I've heard, you know, challenges to, well, what do you want to do, the council wants to do? You know, from my perspective, I want to keep the program in some respects going, but I don't know how to do that, because there's a very large expenses involved in it with the folks that run it.
Yeah.
I would like them to give me the option to say, well, you know, right now I understand it's a $400,000 plus deficit.
Ask and you shall receive. So David is actually working on that right now. I hopped on and helped him out on my day off. And so he has what the salaries would be. He's looking to bring you a presentation on the next Tuesday on what that would look like in options to reduce that $450,000 gap.
Oh, next week?
Next week.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay, how about we do this and go in order, because everybody has, and we'll leave the deputy mayor to be last.
Don't forget about Kelly, maybe. He's got something.
Well, he hasn't raised his hand, and
he's anonymous right now.
Anyway, yes.
I wasn't here last week, but I went to the CFF meeting.
Thank you very much.
We can go. And I just wanted to let people know, like, tonight you're acting the Family Learning Center, and they're filling the backpacks, but starting on August 17th at Valley, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then on August
22nd
at
the Liberty Leadership Group, 8 in Monterey, from June to 2, they will be handing out backpacks. That's good. And then also on the 4th of August,
that's the
Right.
Starting.
All right, thank you. Councilmember Baldwin.
But I
Well, honestly, my hope would be that staff would have the freedom to select an alternative and bring that forward as the final alternative. Being that and I'm not trying to sound the way this may come across, but being hired to do this work, that would probably be the most streamlined way to go, and it'll allow us to get to the finish line much quicker. Some of my issue in trying to give more definitive answers here tonight is because I feel like to some degree, my department's caught in a weird spot because we don't manage the senior center. That's actually out of administrative services. So I don't want to be speaking for another department head who may already have a more definitive plan in place for you. And so I would like to make sure that Chuck gets that opportunity to share with you what his vision has been for this effort moving forward. But certainly, where public services dovetails into this is we are providing the contract support for all of this work moving forward. And so as it pertains to that, my preferred method of handling that would be to bring back the selected alternative for your evaluation instead of putting on you all the discussion of evaluating different HVAC alternatives. I think that is something that we should probably handle at the staff level and bring back to you as our final plan to move forward. Mm-hmm.
And government moves very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the staff. It has nothing to do with the
long enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah.
You can say slowly.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, and part of what's missing from this equation is that whatever projects we move forward with, the state has to buy off on, because they're supplying the funds for it, right? So I don't know if this sounds like I'm kind of hedging, you know, giving you a definitive answer. I can tell you that at the design level, certainly we would be looking at different alternatives, and we want to select the one that's going to be most fiscally responsible, you know. So.
Well, if you did give us a definitive answer, I'd be a little suspicious of that.
I look forward to be on the agenda in the near future.
All right, Deputy.
I will make sure Chuck knows that.
So I wanted to talk about the REC program and the Reed property. I know that there was talk of kind of taking the temperature of council and kind of onesies and twosies and trying to figure this thing out. However, it sounds like that might go into the end of the month, maybe even the middle of next month. And I'm not okay with that, so I'm just going to talk about it here, and we're going to figure it out. We voted on June 13th, over 2 months ago, to start negotiating with MRAC, at least in regards to the Reed property. We have not had a meeting. Nothing has happened. I know they've been wanting some internal conversations about which doors to go through, so I want to present those doors, and Sherry can correct me if I'm wrong on any of these, but we kind of mentioned these at finance before earlier. So door one, how we can move forward, is we can leave the Reed property in the water fund and rent it to MRAC at full market value, which to me makes no sense at all, because they're the ones taking all the risk. They're building and putting money into the project, and we would do absolutely nothing. Door two is to do an interfund loan for a full market value of somewhere $4 million some dollars.
Not an interfund loan.
Sorry.
It would be an interfund purchase.
Okay.
Yeah, so the original slide was put together saying a loan, and I'm like, who keeps saying loan?
That's me.
It will not be a loan. It would be a purchase.
Purchase. Okay.
From the general fund, buying the property from the water fund.
And in order to do that, what was the three, there was 3 years associated with
No, that. So that was the whole, and I'm not real sure where that all got started, so there's an updated slide that apparently hasn't made its way out anywhere. So there is no 3-year thing, forget all that, forget the interfund loan. Option two is the, and not trying to be disrespectful here, I just want to make sure we get the right information.
Absolutely, please.
Option two would be the general fund buys the property from the water fund. The general fund now owns that property. The general fund has the ability, we have a decent amount of savings that can be used for capital type projects, money that could be transferred to parks, as you've done, I think $2.8 million last year for Allen York Park. It can be used for streets. It cannot or should not be used for ongoing expenses like salaries or anything like that, but it can be used for capital type purchases. So this would be a great use of those funds. You currently have two savings accounts already, the cumulative reserve fund and the contingency fund. I know the contingency fund has like $1.2 million in it. Cumulative reserve, I think we fed that. If Justin was here, he'd remember because he's the one who pushed for that. I think it was $1 million into that one. And I'm projecting with the all of the used ARPA money, because remember, we did that as lost revenue to make sure that the feds weren't able to take that from us. That will go into the general fund capital, ending fund balance, savings, however you want to kind of look at it. I project that by the end of 2024, we'll have about $17 million in there. So you have $4 or $5 million to purchase that property. The general fund still owns that property, so it's not like anything's being lost here. And then you can sell it if you ever choose to, you know, a future council decides they don't want to be in that business or they need money, that property can still be sold. So that's option two. No loan, straight out purchase.
Okay. I kind of had that one as option three.
Okay. Right, so. I mean, a loan you could do, I would never recommend it because you have to pay the current value interest, which why would we pay interest if we can straight out buy it?
Yeah, so, I totally agree.
So that was the loan, no loan.
Yeah. So that was my door number three, which I think makes the most sense. That is basically we can buy the property, we can give them a dollar lease, they can come in and work the property. We would end up moving it, annexing it into the into the city because it's for municipal purpose, so as a park, so we can do that. And then all of the permitting and everything can go through the city as well. To me, that's the most streamlined and I think makes the most sense. The city's really, other than moving the money around from the general fund to the water fund, essentially, to do that, is out nothing.
My apologies, I have to take off.
So okay.
I will see you.
Good luck. I'll just do it. Right. So anyway, to me, that makes the most sense that we can do that. We can move some money around, and then MRAC is willing to come in and do the work. The big question can be, you know, well, we have to protect the city, right? So we need to make sure we do that properly. I don't think that's that hard. I think we can do an MOU soon, sooner rather than later, to say that we're at least working with MRAC and headed in this general direction. We don't know how we're going to get there yet, but there you can write those with contingencies, if this, then that.
That's how we did the Lance Kids House way back when.
Yeah.
We took it over, leased it.
And I think that's why I'm so, I don't know the right word, frustrated or disappointed so far with the process because it's been just a long time. And the staff that's not here is a couple of them that probably need to hear this, and not the people that are here, but they can listen to it, right? I'm concerned. I want this thing to move forward, and MRAC is taking a large risk, and they are putting out money and time and effort in to try to do something, and they're waiting. They're waiting for us. They would like to go after several grants. One in particular is called the Lumen Field Grant because they're trying to put in, I think it's 25 fields by 2025 when the World Cup comes around and all this. In order to do that, they have to have their grant in by September 30th. I've mentioned a couple of these dates trying to get people to move and let's have a meeting, and it just seems like it's just getting longer and longer and longer, and we're not having any meetings. So we already voted. This is not something that we need to talk or vote on or anything. It's just more of I want staff to move. I would like, I can't direct them, but we can as a whole as to the direction we would like to go. I think we already did that when we voted to move forward. So I'd like to see that move forward.
I do know that, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I do know that the city administrator is currently working on getting an updated appraisal for the property because we have to, and I know Councilmember Swatman, he calls me out on this. It needs to be as much of an arms-length transaction as possible. So because the water fund is a proprietary fund to stand on its own, we need to make sure that we're not shorting them. We are not allowed legally to short them and say, well, we'll give you $2 million for it instead of the $5 million it's worth or whatever it may be worth. So he's working on that, and he's also working on the value of a lease.
Yeah.
So that the city has that information.
Awesome. And I want us to go through that process. I just want to see an MOU reach that, hey, we're moving forward with something. We don't know what that's going to look like yet. And that's okay, right? If this, then that. I think we're making it, not us here, but I think it can be made to be more difficult than what it really is. Councilmember Baldwin.
Well, I think it has everything to do with not moving at a snail pace is going to highly benefit even until the 25. And then we actually have those tools. Concern or fear in the air that, you know, there's going to be this hostile takeover of the rec program,
right.
And that's not what the conversation is being had. City will benefit. So, I don't.
Great. Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah, so what you're saying is also that you have some modifications.
It's non binding.
It's non binding.
Yeah.
And then, but that gives more space.
Correct. Thank you. Oh. Okay.
Just wanted to add
Thank you. Councilmember Swatman.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I'm one of the great organizers. It appears, you know, I was thinking of the MOU as something that you're going to be. The selling and the transferring of the property, you think you could do that, you know, also at the same time? I don't see that that's like a whole of an MOU. Yeah, the problem that, you know, that I would point out with it, and it's not a problem, maybe I shouldn't say that, I would say that I'm really super confident that there's other ways to not have to move that money around. So hopefully that'll be fully explored, but that's in the conversation. You know, public looking at it and saying that, you know, why are we giving $2 million to a private organization? I mean, that would be a question I would have as a public, right?
Sure.
I'm confident that that doesn't have to be done. Please, I like an organization. I think they can get them out.
I guess,
whether
sorry.
Whether they have to or not, I don't think that's a stopper to the MOU, right?
Yeah.
So, again, I'm with you thinking that why I'm new, I don't know where the big holdup is in that. The mayor is left, the public doesn't know, so maybe, you know, that's the person with information.
Right.
So I don't believe, at least from a financial perspective, that we're transferring anything to MRAC. It's from the property to the from the waterfront to the general fund. General fund revenue then go to the waterfront, which also helps out the waterfront, which is what you guys have been wanting to do, right? You talked about during FCS presentations about possibly selling that property. So you're just selling it. You're essentially transferring the money to a fund that you all wanted the money to go to, and now it's an appropriate way to do that, right?
I couldn't agree more. I think with the ARPA funds that came in, we wanted those initially to go to water. I think a lot of people had said that.
The benefits a lot of people in the office announced too, right? Because your water district is whatever it is.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So you're taking general fund money. You know, to me, even that, and that's part of that, you know, frank open discussion is that, oh, I'm not going to paint the senior center and I'm not going to, you know, put the proper cooling in over there because I want to give millions of dollars to a private organization. Isn't that what it is?
I don't think
you're
I would.
Sure, it's like, oh, wait, that way. You're just transferring it because you're not really giving it to me. You know, you're leasing it to them, but.
We still own the property.
You can do this lease in the MOU without having to do that transfer of money. So my concern is, because I'm more concerned with taking care of the needs and internal in the city.
Yeah, I think I see what you're saying.
So, and I think you and I talked a little bit about this at finance too. The attorney and I had a discussion about if the water fund could do that, and according to the attorney, and she can speak probably better about what she told me than I can, obviously, but she's not on right now, so you get me. she told me that you couldn't do that because the water fund is not, it's a proprietary fund, so you can't have a park for in the water. So,
so my contention is that I want to sell the property that I'm buying, like you were thinking. And it becomes a value discussion where it's like, oh, well, fine. You know, the water in the enterprise that I run is a business.
Yep.
I'm going to sell it for $200 to the general fund. And the general fund is going to buy it for $200. And then you get into that other little discussion where it's like, oh, well, you can't do that. Well, show me why I can't do that. And that's that information from the experts, the legal people to say, oh, this is why you can't do that. Because I think I can do that, and practically, we do it all the time. We have to go through a process where we have, you know, public work stuff has to be a public hearing, and you have to do this kind of thing to sell the truck, you know.
Right? So, but the money goes back to the public works fund.
You know, if I have a truck that's in the enterprise fund or whatever, or a piece of property in this enterprise fund, I can't just sell it or give it away kind of thing. So I have to, like, go out through this process to get rid of it out of the enterprise fund.
So, so RCW, I don't know what RCWs are what, right? I don't know the legal part of it. But what I can tell you is that the only fund that can share money with anybody would be your general fund. Your water funds can't do that. And so that's what's prohibiting less than an arm's length transaction in this sale. And I don't know why you agree. Well, they're having it appraised. I don't know what the value is. I'm not.
Because we clearly did that. It wasn't the Lear deal. So was there any enterprise? Yes. Okay. So there were stormwater funds involved in the purchase of that property out there. We purchased that with some there you go. So the Lear piece, we purchased that with water funds and stormwater funds and different things because we're going to build a public works facility out there. Okay? Right?
He says Lear.
Compass Point.
Okay. So we purchased that for whatever, you know, and we had offers on the table for $14 million for that piece of property, you know, the bona fide offers. And we chose not to do that. We chose to give it to somebody else because it provided more value and they were going to do some, you know, bring more stuff to the city with that package. So So there's an ironclad example where we, changed values. So maybe there, and you know, the other example, of course, right, Sumner. Like, say they took their sewer water funds and purchased a place that became a golf course. You probably know that one, right? Yay, okay. Because they were going to spread the manure out there or whatever at one point in time and or used it and stuff like this. So they had Sumner Meadows. Yeah. So they sold that piece of property eventually to a bunch of developers for a whole lot of money. And I'm real sure that they put 100% of that money back into their sewer system, right? Yeah. So it can be...
I don't know. I don't work for them. But I'd be curious. So in the same... I see what you're saying. Yeah. So I see what you're saying. They sold it for less. Okay. Due to a benefit of what the council believed to be a benefit to the city. What would the benefit be if, say, and I have no idea what the...
Able to build all their parks and
rec? No, I mean, what would the benefit be for the water fund to sell that at, say, $3 million instead of the $5 million they could to the general fund when the general fund can afford to pay for it? What would be the benefit?
We did it with the Compass Point. Same thing, same idea. They brought a bunch of, like, jobs and building and infrastructure pieces that they were going to put on the ground that we didn't have to pay for,
Yeah, that's a question for legal.
I don't think any of that has anything to do with the MOU, really, in my mind, because I think the MOU is structured in such a way that it doesn't guarantee anything.
We'll have the details later. Just move forward.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I completely agree. We can do an MOU, if this, then that, with a couple of different options, right? And that we are working together towards something, and we know what that is. Just particularly talking about the Reed piece. There should be a separate, and then there will be in the future, I believe, a separate negotiation in regards to the rec program, right? Because you're right, that is completely separate. Those are two separate discussions, and how we move forward with that. We have no idea what that's going to be. I believe the ILA from the school districts is coming up next week for us to vote on and move forward, but Chuck has made it very clear that there will not be another ILA probably next year. So we have to come up with something that we're able to do. The school district does not seem to be interested in working through that process with us again, and they don't want any part of it, is what my understanding from Chuck is. So with that, we have to do something. So, but that'll be, again, that's in the future, right? Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah. So question, well, I have two questions. The question one is, who do we get to write that MOU as soon as possible?
The city is pushing for the city attorney to do that. I've provided them with a stock MOU. Like, here you go. It's not hard. You can get them off the internet. We do them all the time with, negotiations with the police department or with any of the unions or whatnot. This is not something that's new, right? So it's not that hard. I think she's actually got one that's almost ready to go, is my understanding as well. She probably have it done in an hour.
And then my second question is, as far as annexing property, do you need to
answer that? No, I was going to let you know that I will speak with John tonight or tomorrow and let him know that this is your interest so that he can refer the matter to Jennifer. I know that John is at conference rest this week and he's on vacation next week. So I'll make sure to reach out to him so he knows to bring this forward for you.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And then my second question is, as far as annexing, I know that there used to be some kind of for properties that are east of 214th and 218th, that it can't be annexed for a certain amount of years, so has that...
So, in regards to this property, it's my understanding that if it is purchased by the general fund and becomes a park, then it can be annexed.
That's what I was just going to add on right there, is we have to make sure that it can be used for municipal purposes, which...
Even in the worst case, it doesn't get any
Agreed, yeah. I have another meeting with Councilmember Morrell coming on Thursday, so.
Oh, can you get us on the agenda then for next month?
I'll put it on the agenda, yeah. See if something happens.
Well, we have to have September, so.
Yeah. So, I'm sure I'll have talks with John and whatnot here in the future, so.
He's there. He's up there.
He came on for a second. I don't know if you have a question or not.
There he is.
So quiet.
What's going on, Kelly?
Hanging out at your bar.
No volume.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, you're muted.
You're muted.
You are muted. Or we show you as muted.
Sorry. I just say, hey, let's just get the deal done. It makes sense for everybody.
Good man.
You know, we got to get that done for the taxpayer. This doesn't happen often. You know, let's make it happen.
Awesome. Thank you. I think that's all I have for that. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Any other open comment? Okay. We'll move on to review of council minutes.
We had one correction. They're aware of it.
Okay. Perfect. And with that, there's no executive session, so we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Recording has stopped.